This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
This morning I'll be joined by a variety of voices. Denzel Taylor is in the studio. Diazona Tonje is in the studio. Espongile Kanga will join us on the line. And we will also probably take all other voices that we are able to find from that conversation and play them on air for you just to add up some zest and flavor. It's 16 minutes past 9. Let's pay some bills and then get on with the business.
Power Talk with Lukhona Mbuni. Call Lukhona on 0861-987-000.
Indeed, that is the dial. You can also tweet me at Lukhona Mbuni, hashtag Power Talk this morning. Let me welcome my guests. Gentlemen, do you have a mic? I know that you were deprived of mics yesterday. It was not your event. Good morning, Denzel.
Good morning.
Got enough sleep?
I've got a mic. Look, tough question there. Normally I would have said yes.
But now it's after last it night tempers with your street credibility.
Absolutely. No.
Daedzo?
I mean, I'm still young, Chief. I can afford two hours of sleep and sivuge.
Hey, there's that song, we run the streets, da-da-da, we run the streets, ba-ba-ba. I think Daedzo still runs the streets
I'm okay.
Johannesburg. I saw you there in your elements, all suited up, Mr. Netonze.
Cleans up nicely. Eh?
No, he does. You would take him for granted if you were to meet him in the streets.
when we're marching and running up after Julius and Cyril.
Absolutely, tracking all the things happening. But this last night in Daedzo, you were tracking, you know, the conversation. There are some things that stood out that not only did they talk. Sposh is on the line now. Sbongile Kanga, good morning.
Good morning, Lukhona. How are you?
Sounds like she got enough sleep.
Yeah, no.
I wouldn't be surprised if she's still snuggled up.
No, she got enough sleep.
Okay, Smosh, thank you for making time and joining us this morning. Let's just hear from Daedzo first, just to give us, you know, some of the talking points that you were tracking in that conversation. Of course, there were things that people were anticipating would come up. I mean, this is the man who chaired Eskom at a time of transition in this country.
Yeah, and Denzel, from 97, right? He chaired Eskom. And 5 years ago, he mentions that he went and had a conversation with the powers that be around Eskom. And he recruits some key technical people who would have worked at Eskom when he was there, who are now working abroad, to say, look, we can fix this problem. And the powers that be then tell him, look, we are fine. Now, what I needed to understand, and I was playing a tape in my head while he was saying this, was to understand who was there 5 years ago. So Dr. Ruel Khoza is very diplomatic in his approach, and he doesn't want to sound like someone that is going at people. Now, you just need to make your own assumptions on who the leadership was. So the first one would have been President Cyril Ramaphosa, President Jacob Zuma at the time. Cyril Ramaphosa, the then deputy president, would have been chairing the Eskom war room, right? And then you have to go and look at the chairperson and also of Eskom and also the CEO. And you would have had also Matsela Koko run about the same period. So one then wonders who from that sort of top structure he would have had that conversation with, warning them about what would happen at Eskom 5-6 years later and them shutting the door. And I got also the sense that he was okay with not going to try and fix it now, because he offered and it was turned down. And
in fact, that question did come. Would he do if he got that call to say, is he too much? What did the chair say?
If he was too much.
Is he too mable?
Yeah.
Is he too mable? He said, well, I was too mable insofar as I went to the PIC, which is also another very important state institution. Mm. He said he spent about, 27, 29 months there now, and he seems satisfied with what he has managed to achieve. What was that all about, Ndaedzo?
Yeah, you know, with the PIC, there's always this narrative, and the chairman touched on it, that the beneficiaries of the investments from the PIC are mostly white-owned companies. Dr. Royal Khoza was, straightforward in that it is a lie.
Yeah.
But also with that came the issue of those that would have benefited unduly, or for a lack of a better word, and him coming and saying that we tried to clean up. There's still other processes even now of the cleanup of PIC. When he spoke of the PIC, I got the sense that it is one of the institutions which, under his watch, and even now, he's of the view that it is properly or okay managed, notwithstanding the problems that are there. You didn't get that sense when he spoke about Eskom. You could, when you listened carefully, you get the sense that you would have been at a comfortable space while at PIC than when he was at Eskom.
But I mean, he did raise, of course, he did say for lack of time that, he would not be able to go to each transaction as to what happened at the PIC. But I mean, he said in terms of impact investment, if you look there, about 71% of it goes to black businesses or the black sector businesses. And then he says, but startups are difficult. Some do very dismally and others do quite well. And I suppose that's the challenge that the PIC faces generally as an institution. But he did talk about this buddy-buddy system without mentioning names.
Yeah. And that buddy-buddy system came out at the PIC inquiry, which I personally think when it came out, Denzel, it did not, when the report came out, it did not talk to the things that Dr. Khoza was talking about, in the sense that it was just, it looked like a whitewash, the buddy-buddy system.
So is it possible that the inquiry itself still played some role in protecting the buddy-buddy system?
No, of course. That one is not something that I would even contest. It is very, very possible. There are some questionable transactions. We know what happened with EOH and a couple of other companies, without wanting to point out and say that this, but the report is there. The testimonies are there. And those testimonies, I don't think much of them were taken into consideration. And Dr. Royal Khoza, being the person that he is, I think for him to go and say that, he would say it with a lot of authority, if you ask me. I think he knows what he's talking about when he speaks about the buddy-buddy system, Denzel.
Just to add, to what Ndaedzo is saying about the buddy-buddy system. After that, he then mentions that, people got millions from the PIC.
He even goes further and says,
That's my point. Billions, yeah. That's my point. He says people got millions from the PIC.
Yeah.
And then he corrects himself. And then he says, we even gave people billions. And then just after that, it sinks in. And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, wow. And then he says, and a lot of those companies failed. And I'm like, oh, wow.
And what does that mean? Because that talks about, the debt probably being
exactly
underwritten, and nobody has to pay back. It's written off.
So to enhance Ndaedzo's point, of all the corruption and the buddy-buddy system and everything else, then you get to the money factor and how much then was given to people. And then he then further states that, in essence, some of those just never materialized.
Absolutely. Ndaedzo, I think, because I'm going to let you go so that brings Bosch into this conversation, One important observation for me is how there seems to be a reversal of gains at the PIC. The current minister has decided to go back to the old model of getting the deputy minister to chair the PIC board. And yet, when the likes of Royal Khoza were asked to go there, they insisted on an independent board chairperson.
And this is where the problem is. When you look at the likes of Royal Khoza and what they've achieved, not just at state-owned entities, but also at private sector level, you get to understand that they have a vision beyond what is happening at that particular point. And had that model not changed, and you had the likes of Royal Khoza and multiply, if for lack of a better word, I think most institutions, not just the PIC, most institutions in government would. And this is what he was trying to say, would function properly, because he does speak about leadership and how that then impacts, because government and the way that they have spent time making these appointments is very questionable.
In fact, I mean, he spent a lot of time talking about Eskom and the need for expertise. It is 9:30. People of Power, we are decoding the chairman's conversation that happened between Mr. Given Mkhari and Dr. Royal Khoza. 0861-987-000 is the dial. After news headlines, I'll bring in Sibongile Ganxa just to talk us and walk us through. I mean, she was so busy in the lead up to that conversation. Want to hear some more. Gama Zibugo brings us the news headlines. Ngati Ibeauty Sleep. Aiseko kama Zibugo. Aiseko. Pelile. Peye.
Tweet Lukona at Lukona Mguni and hashtag Power Talk.
Indeed, and also dial me on 0861-987-000. I'm going to be taking your calls this morning, reflecting, you know, on the chairman's conversation, the state of the country, the continent, and the world around us. Sibongile Ganxa, let me bring you back in. You were listening in there, Ndaedzo, you know, giving us the lay of the land, as some people would say, in terms of the key points that, you know, society would be most interested in, especially Eskom, PIC, the Public Investment Corporation. But Bosch, let's take a step back. Before the 25th of November, there's some process, and some will always talk about, you know, there's some method to the madness. I mean, what are some of the key ingredients that go into making this conversation that we never get to hear about nor see?
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Lukona. There's a lot of work that goes into this. Firstly, I'd really like to thank, you know, the Power community, Power family, the listeners of Power 98.7 and Capricorn FM, you know, who tuned in and really just, you know, made it all worth it. Because there's a lot of preparation that goes into it. And the brief is, you know, quite simple, particularly this year, Lukona, you know, we really wanted to treat and honor our listeners, our partners, and our guests with a production, with an experience. So we wanted a conversation that would transcend talk into something somebody could take home with, you know, spiritually, mentally, something that they could internalize and action in their respective, you know, fields of interest and their lives broadly. So the planning is, you know, there's a huge project team, logistics, admin, making sure that the partnerships are well taken care of and, you know, they're executed well. Copy, the wording, the creative behind it, the look and feel of the evening, the TV partnership, how we go on a multimedia execution of the production, digital promotional materials, right to the finest detail, Lukona, like how cars, you know, kind of trickle into the building, dealing with the venue, you know, staff as well quite closely. So it is a very big production with many moving parts.
I mean, Sibosh, I think one of the most interesting questions what you're talking about when you talk about the multimedia aspect of it, I mean, we ourselves, I mean, the whole of MSG has huge broadcast footprint and potential digital presence. When you think of getting a, you know, a broadcast partner, as you did this time around with CNBC Africa, what are some of the key considerations you make? I mean, you are a broadcast medium yourself, and then, you know, you are thinking of partnering up with another one. So what are some of the key things that then go into it?
Well, I mean, you know, the chairman's conversation, of course, I mean, we always start at home. So we've got an incredible listenership and a base that supports us. And, you know, it starts and ends with radio, really, because that's what we're in the business of doing. So we know that we've got that very firm base of, you know, Power 98.7 listeners. But also, it's also, remember, a marketing exercise, in the sense that if you're going to go this big with a conversation and bring a man of such stature to the platform, you also want to use that as an opportunity to kind of reach the person who wouldn't ordinarily listen to a Power 98.7. This could be spatially because they don't live in Gauteng, or for whatever other reason. And being, you know, the son of the soil, a son of Africa, a pioneer and a thought leader on the continent and abroad, it only made sense for us to go for a media partner that would allow us to embody that continental reach that Dr. Rolkoza has. So CNBC Africa was undoubtedly the best partner to go with, just to reach the many, many people who Dr. Rolkoza's work impacts directly or indirectly on the continent.
In fact, Bosch, Chairman, last night also alluding to the fact that, you know, what dovetailed the partnership was also MSG Africa's sense of, you know,
pan-Africanism.
Yes. And pan-Africanist ambitions.
Yes, yes, absolutely. That's what we're about. You know, we really are very passionate about this continent, where it's going. We take full responsibility for its future. And I mean, the engagements and the platforms that we've created as MSG Africa, Lukona, are exactly for that, to be a meeting place for that meaningful discussion and engagement, so we can shape new realities and new futures. And all of that through the lens of Africa and what we imagine it to be.
Now let's talk a bit about the day now. There you were calling up, you know, and that Rolkoza, and you know, the chairman giving him curry. There you were summoning them to stage, but it was just not happening. And a whole production with Prof Tinyeko Maluleke follows. What was that all about?
I think it was quite clear that, you know, it almost felt like a reimagined chairman's conversation. I think COVID kind of, you know, made everybody reflect and go back to the drawing board about who they are and how they show up to the world. So, you know, MSG Africa is very much, like you just mentioned, we're very pan-Africanist in our ideals. We celebrate and we honor expression, Black expression, Black power, excellence, you know, all of that. And it really was about going back to who we are and allowing people to show up as those people with all of the context and the backdrops that inform who they are. And spirituality is a big part of how we navigate, you know, our context, I guess, Lukona. So that was really about paying homage and, you know, kind of making an ode to the two men of the moment, Khoza and Given, and understanding and appreciating that although they can be on that stage as two individuals, but they come as many. So it was just really a sign of respect of where they come from.
And of course, you gave us some beautiful music with the sound that is a mix of, you know, lyrics that touch at the heartstrings of our society and humanity. Whether you're talking about Mindiro ya Bula Bula and the Ntwana no song, one of my favorites, to have been produced by Dr. Rolkoza. And, you know, how important was that? I mean, you're talking about a reimagined chairman's concert. We really certainly saw far greater production this time around than we previously have.
Yeah, absolutely. But I also think it has to do with the man on the hot seat as well, in the sense that he embodies all of these things. He's just, you know, he's really, really just a phenomenal human being, a master of everything, you know, a jack of all trades, a master of all, if I could say myself. To think that even that music last night is music that he composed. I mean, that's phenomenal. So, I mean, we had to bring that element of who he was. It was such a great opportunity to bring a musical element to the chairman's conversation that we've never had in the past. But because he comes as that musical genius, it was just only fitting. So it just added to the texture of this year's conversation.
Of course, Bosch, as a parting shot, you know, a huge commitment made last night that the next chairman's conversation definitely happening in June 2022. 2022. What's that road going to look like? I mean, will it be a cold winter's conversation?
Well, let's wait and see. We'll make it warm. No matter how cold it is, we'll make sure we bring the fire. That's one thing you can get. You can be guaranteed. Yes, that was the commitment that was made. I guess now it's really just about debriefing and just, you know, kind of getting a sense of what went well last night, where we can improve. We're open to, you know, constructive feedback as well in that process. Mm. And then to plan ahead, just to always just make sure that we move from one, you know, strength to another strength.
Absolutely. Sposh, hopefully you get a bit of rest as the weekend goes.
No rest.
Sposh, go sleep.
Did you hear Dr. Rokosa last night?
We're talking about that.
We talk about rest, not sleep. Go rest.
She didn't make it into studio.
Okay, Smash, always a pleasure. That is Sibongile Ganxa, deals with all things commercial and stakeholders relations here at Power 98.7. Denzel, before I bring you in, let's take Sifudi quickly. Sifudi, good morning.
Morning to you. You're a guest.
How are you? Sifudi, something about that line. I'm going to, Snetemba, can you please clean up Sifudi's line? There's just a bit of noise and a break in transmission. Arnold, good morning.
Good morning, Lukona. How are you?
Fantastic. How are you?
I'm okay. Yeah, Lukona, two things quickly that I took out of that conversation. Mm. One was when he was asked about that project in Sherwell. He said, if you spend or invest big, you might win or succeed big, or you might lose big.
Mm.
But most importantly, you must learn big.
Mm.
That's what I took. And secondly, was when he was asked about what is not leadership.
Yeah.
And then he said, what is not leadership is ignorance masquerading as knowledge.
Mm.
No. You know, I took those two. And then in conclusion, Lukona, I really felt for the MEC of Health.
Why?
He was in a very, very difficult space. Even after he was interviewed there, you know, she even said that herself, to say, look, I wish I can preach to my colleagues, you know, when he was talking about politics. Yeah, I really felt for it because that woman is my panyaza of Limpopo, you know.
Yeah.
She's the only MEC out of there. She's working hard.
Yeah.
I wish she could have given that invitation to either Mbalula or Tele or Previn.
And take them along. Don't worry. Yeah. There's a podcast. We'll send them a podcast, Arnold. Sure. That will definitely happen. Arnold, they're talking about, you know, what is not leadership. And Denzel, before I bring you back on, I see Sifudi is on the line, but I'm going to come to you. But before I bring you on, he said what is not leadership is misleadership.
Yes.
The antithesis of leadership.
Evil leadership, which is in fact misleadership. Leadership that tramples, that lords over followership, as opposed to actually persuade followership to follow it. We have had many, many examples of misleadership or what is not leadership. Hitler atomized what was not leadership, what was misleadership, plunged humanity into a world war. Very, very persuasive. But persuasiveness alone does not do it. He lacked ethics and ethical conduct. Now, what is not leadership is that which is devoid of a commitment to morality and ethical conduct. That, in a sense, encapsulates what is not.
Well, misleadership, evil. What did you take away from that, Denzel?
And he says many examples of that.
You've been seen.
I listen with my political head all the time. I it doesn't really matter what the conversations are. I'm geared towards the political space.
Mm.
So whatever is happening in the country or whatever, and conversations like this,
I'm looking for the words, I'm looking for the narratives, I'm looking for the body language, I'm looking for what he doesn't say and what he does say. And I thought, what a brilliant question. Because also Ruhol Khoza, Dr. Ruhol Khoza, sat there, looked at Givenam Kari a little bit and thought, that's not the question I really expected.
Mm.
You could see.
No, he said it. He said, in fact, you should be asking me, what is leadership?
Yes, that's the normal question you would ask. Mm. And then when the answer came, it spoke to today. It spoke to present day. We've just been through an election of people persuading us, people being evil in the system, coming to persuade us again that they are okay and that they are wearing different clothes or no clothes, you know, if at all, you know. So when he speaks of no leadership, I pretty much take it home and I start trying to measure it in people. Is the president leadership? Is Fikile Mbalula leadership? You know, is our health minister leadership? Is the leadership in business? You know, where is it? Is it in the political parties? Because, you know, that was raised as well in the sense of political space versus the business space versus, you know, the power of people. And the power of people coming up, because Givenam Kari keeps on saying, but why do we allow it? Every time we speak of either weak leadership or no leadership or the kind of services we get, the question then is, again, that comes to it, why do we not stand up enough or speak up enough and begin to speak out against that? Or are we the Twitterati generation where we it comes and it goes and tomorrow is a different aspect and we're talking about something else and we're scratching the surface all the time.
And we don't immerse ourselves in enough things.
Even the election phase, if you just go back to, because I always, let's look at the election as vis-a-vis what he was speaking about, you know what I'm saying? And contextualize it in that. Here was an election where manifestos were scratching the surface. Nobody spoke about manifestos. Nobody spoke about the issues. People spoke about whether we liked someone or didn't like someone, whether someone was good or someone was, you know, pretty bad, because I don't think there were any, you know, in the middle.
Let's hold it on that note, Ndaedzo. Let's pay bills. Let's pay bills. You still need lights on here when Eskom decides to keep them on. 0861-987-000. Sifudi, I'll take you after the ad break and Sipo, and then continue my conversation here in studio with Denzel Taylor and Ndaedzo Netonje.
Power 98.7, progressively elevating the conversation. Now, we're talking.
Indeed we are, and it is 7 minutes to the hour, 10 o'clock. Sifudi, good morning to you.
Morning, guys. Protocol observe, requisite skills, not just a requisite need, but expert one. You know, in a nutshell, guys, our saving grace doesn't lie with politicians. The man, the gentleman laid it openly there. But my issue is the TIC money, that's the pensioner's money. You can't just give it to the tried and untested for people squabbling parasitically. And it's it. Good morning to you.
Good morning to you, Sifudi, and have a good one. Sipo, good morning.
Morning, how are you?
I'm well, how are you this morning?
Good, man. Just my general observation, right? The evening was great and entertaining, but the first point is I think Power FM lost gains that you made towards COVID-19. Reason being, one, there was no social distancing, the embracing, the shaking of hands and all that. You need to be careful because sometimes, I mean, as media, you're sending a very powerful message.
See, but I think you raise an important thing, and it's important to make this disclaimer. Power 98.7, MSG Africa, in fact, pulled all stops to make sure that there would be social distancing, sanitization, spread of the serving stations, both food and drinks. But you do have to make this proviso. We cannot police to the T, people's behavior. I mean, some of the people there have not seen each other in a long time. Emails were sent out. People were encouraged to adhere to COVID-19 regulations. Whatever you might have seen as a breach of that, that's why we continue to ask people to be as vigilant as possible.
Yeah, granted. However, I mean, it goes to even to the chairman. I mean, he was hugging and embracing
He's a person, now, that's personal behavior. So that's, I just want to clear that. But
okay.
let's proceed from that.
The image is important. Moving forward, okay, that's number one. Number two, Mr. Ruel Khoza, I think, well, in terms of what is expected of the chairman's conversation, I think he was not bold enough because, I mean, the predecessors, in terms of, let's just say, your Rupert, they will call a spade, whereas Mr. Ruel Khoza, he was like speaking in parables, leaving us to actually try to make what he meant. You know what I mean? He was not specific enough. And I think for where we are now as the country, we need leaders who will be bold enough and say, you know what, ABC, you are messing up. This is how you can solve the whole thing. Okay. You understand what I'm saying?
I hear what you are saying.
Yes.
Okay.
And then, and lastly, just maybe looking forward to chairman's conversation. It is a chairman's conversation, given Mukhari needs to play a major role. However, he needs to also look into how he can do better because interviewing and the conversation process, somehow it gets to be destructive. There was a time where he was grabbing his
Sipo,
face.
I need to wrap because of time, because I need to give Denzel a chance to respond. Yes. Denzel, Sipo raises something interesting. I mean, you were involved in the background research part of it. Generally, Dr. Khoza does express himself in parables, almost what some people may call innuendos. But I did see moments of boldness. I mean, with BEE, he was very scathing in terms of whether it has worked or not.
It depends on how you listened to this thing. You know, there were very direct questions put to him, and it depends on how you listened and how someone speaks. So he's not one who's going to, and he says it, he's not going to be one who shouts at you. And I think one of the daughters said it very, very well, is that in the tone of the voice and in the way he says something, you will understand exactly what he says. And if you listen to him pretty carefully, you will understand exactly what he says. And the people that he speaks to without mentioning any specific name. Mm. And I think that is a secret and that is a talent and that is almost something to be said of someone. Is when he does not come at you as though, as like he says, you know, somebody who tramples all over you and lords all over you and stuff like that. He comes at you and he tells you very specifically in a very, you know, humane, decent manner as to how you've wronged or how you've done something right. And I hear what the caller is saying, but I think it's depends on how you listened to the conversation last night.
In fact, Ndaedzo, there was a moment when he spoke about how you cannot, and I'll play this clip between 10 and 11 when we talk to Prof. Tinyiko Maluleke, talking about how, you know, you can't deal with complexity if your conceptual basket is empty.
Mm. Yeah, and that's the wealth of knowledge that he has. It's not someone that is a direct speaker. But if you listen carefully, you'll understand what he's saying. But also on the issue of interviewing skills, I think the chairman has said this so many times, and it's not to in his defense, but it's a statement that he's made so many times to say it's a conversation, it's not an interview. Those are for us, the journalists, when we interview politicians and the likes. You and I right now, Lukona, are having a conversation about last night's conversation. Yeah. There's a big difference when you we have to now start interviewing and speaking as an interviewee and an interviewer.
Putting on that, you know, proverbial cap. Denzel, was there enough time for this conversation?
No. there is never enough time for any of the conversations, actually. And let's deal with that after the news. I also want to deal with the COVID aspect, because, you know, it's an important part of Sposha's, you know, messaging that maybe she didn't get to. But just after the break, because, you know, there's a whole separate table also that we established for masks. For the power masks.
Absolutely.
Separate to what people had been bringing in. When you walked in, your temperature was taken. When you walked in, you were given, I think, three sets of from the lifts.
Okay. Let's pause. Let's give Katlego Legodi the chance to give us power news and deal with the complexities of pulling off something of this nature during a pandemic. At a time when, you know, we got an announcement yesterday of a new variant from the National Department of Health and the surveillance team.
Power Talk on Power 98.7.
Indeed, it is 11 minutes past 10. Denzel, let us wrap up. I mean, look, we cannot overstate the importance of vigilance with COVID-19.
Yeah, no. And I just wanted to make the point, you know, maybe which wasn't made strong enough. And you did make it. You know, when you from the time you entered the first lifts at the parking bay, you know, you were given, your hands were sprayed, you know, you were cleaned, your temperatures were taken, those were marked. And so as you got into the building at least three times, I think somebody was like saying jokingly to me, we are properly being sanitized in this place.
Yeah.
And you know, we did all that we could according to the regulations. And you know, people will be people at any event. And where we could, we minimized it to the maximum as we could.
And that is most important. Daizo, I know that, I mean, with the developments, you will be bringing us all the kind of stories, tracking what it means for Gauteng in particular, the new variant. And of course, I also had a chance to talk to the acting director general in the premier's office, Thabo Maseve, yesterday, just to say, you know, the vaccination rates in Gauteng, it seems as if vaccination rates are just stagnating across the country.
Yeah, and it's something that I had a conversation with the one famous Sinkletsi on Twitter. we spent a lot of time talking about the issue of vaccines, also with Thabo Maseve. And I think this period that we're going into now, December, and with this new variant coming in, I personally think it will be a turning point. It's the one period where we are going to see, one, the impact of vaccines on the pandemic, because you are now at least able to gauge with what 40% of the adult population having at least received a jab and going into the festive season and having a new variant that mutates, what, 10 times more, they say. This period will tell us how the country's doing. I, for one, don't think that our government needs to take us back to, you know, the earlier days of hard lockdowns.
Yeah.
I think what needs to happen now is, you know, management of the virus in terms of encouraging vaccinations. And because they can't come now, when just in conclusion, and tell us that no, you can't go and have Mqimbi when they had those large super spreader events when they were campaigning. It would be disingenuous for them
all
to even go to
manifesto launch
you know what I'm saying.
All right,
yeah.
Fantastic, gentlemen, thank you very
much. I want to leave you with
yes,
this.
Sir.
Good leaders are born and then made, and a good few unmake themselves as they go along. Dr. Ruwal
Khoza. Good few unmake themselves as they go along. Denzel Taylor and Daedzo Netonja.
Chana, mina, the only thing is, and salali 8 hours, puti.
Anyway, you are too tall. 8 hours is needed by us short people to see if we might be able to grow.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.